In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Common table salt. The chemical name is sodium chloride, abbreviated NaCl. The word salt is found in a lot of expressions we use frequently in English today. For instance, a person who is worthy of his pay is said to be worthy of his salt. A kind, thoroughly, generally unpretentious person is said to be the salt of the earth. Conversely, using foul or inappropriate words is to be speaking salty language, and a pirate might be called a salty dog. There are many reasons for all these sayings about salt becoming part of our modern language. Seawater is salty, so pirates and old sailors were called salty dogs. Roman soldiers at various times were given different allowances as compensation for their service, including an allowance to buy salt. That's where the word salary comes from. It's unlikely that Roman soldiers were ever actually paid in salt, as was previously believed. A lot of the expressions about salt can be attributed to the Bible as well, especially Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount, where he tells us that we are the salt of the earth, and today's gospel reading, Mark chapter 9, verses 49 and 50, where Jesus says, "Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." Jesus said salt was good, and it is. But many of us have been taught not to think too highly of salt or to value it very much today. For one thing today, salt is cheap. It's inexpensive. You can go to the dollar store and buy a pound of salt for a buck. Every restaurant has a salt shaker on its table, or those complimentary little paper packets of salt that often just get thrown away. But in Bible times and throughout much of history, salt was extremely valuable. In the Middle Ages, people used to refer to it as white gold. The one thing just about everyone knows about salt is that it can increase our blood pressure, which is usually not a good thing. While it's true that too much sodium can raise one's blood pressure, it's also true that salt is necessary for life. I recall hearing a story about a young boy who, as soon as he could eat solid food, started taking the salt shaker and eating salt right out of that. One of the very first words he said, in fact, was salt. His concerned parents took him to a hospital where immediately the staff said, "Hey, we got to cut salt out of his diet." The child withered and almost died. They gave him salt again, and he was fine. Extensive testing showed that he had a rare medical condition where his body could not retain salt, and he needed almost constant doses of salt if he was to survive. Now, most of us probably get much more sodium than we need from all of the overprocessed foods that we Americans have in our diet today. But without a proper balance of electrolytes, including sodium chloride, we could not live. Salt really is necessary for human life. There's an overabundance of salt in our diets for at least two reasons. One is that salt is a preservative. Canned and boxed foods are usually packed with salt so that they can sit on your shelves for months or even years and not spoil. They didn't have quite the same food technology that we have in Bible times, but salt was used then to preserve food too, which was especially important in that time before refrigeration. Having salt to preserve food could mean the difference between being full or being hungry in those seasons when fresh food was scarce. The other reason that we use a lot of salt is simply that it tastes good. For health reasons, my family took the salt shaker off the table decades ago. But if I'm really craving something salty, sometimes I'll use imitation salt, potassium chloride, which I call fake salt. And yeah, it's not quite the same. There is just nothing like a fresh tomato or fresh corn on the cob with real salt on it, or a good salty potato chip, or Chinese food laden with good salty soy sauce. The people who lived in Bible times, including Jesus, were well aware and appreciated all of these positive qualities of salt. In the Bible, we also see salt used in the process of making things kosher. Salt was mixed with sacrifices. Salt, too, was a symbol confirming contracts and agreements. In fact, in the book of Numbers, chapter 18, verse 9, the covenant between the Lord and his chosen people was called an everlasting contract in salt. The early church picked up on this use of salt. A couple of ways that salt was used that have disappeared in our time, including putting salt on the lips of infants who were baptized and putting salt in holy water. So what was Jesus getting at when he told us that we would be salted with fire and that we should have salt in ourselves and be at peace with one another? As we said, salt preserves. It symbolizes then incorruptibility, something that does not change, that does not spoil. Fire represents purification in the way that metal is refined in a crucible. Such removal of impurities often occurs for us too in fiery trials, when we are tested, when we are tried, when we are pushed to our limits of faith and endurance. Often in those ways, we wind up becoming more like Christ. When Jesus tells us we will be salted with fire, he's saying that temptations and tribulations, disappointments and betrayals, they will be a normal, regular part of the Christian life. But by persevering, by battling and overcoming evil, we will be sanctified. We will become more Christ-like. And those challenges themselves will serve the purpose of preserving us, because they will keep us at Christ's side. We're there because we need him. He alone is our hope. As Christians, it is our duty to preserve the faith handed down to us by the apostles and saints once and for all, and then to pass that faith on to the next generation. In that way, we live out the preserving function of salt as well. We teach Sunday school and confirmation. We support the colleges and seminaries of the church. We reach out through our daycare. Not only that, but how we live out each moment of each day, the way we speak to others, the way we act, all of that is preserving the Christian life and setting an example. You can be salt every minute of every day. We also live out what it means to be flavorful like salt. Many people outside of the church think of the Christian life as deadly dull and boring. Nothing could be further from the truth, and we don't have to use salty language to be salty. Christians should be and are engaging the world in every arena. Science, politics, the arts, just to name a few. We don't need to be cloistered away. We need to be on the front lines in the world's best and worst situations. It strikes me often that self-righteous people are just so humorless, always putting other people down, always advancing their personal agendas. Forgiven sinners like us know how to joke and laugh because we know that we are saved by faith, not by perfectionism, and that our differences, they don't need to divide us. As we engage the world, we might sometimes raise blood pressures as salt can. That's okay as long as we're doing it by the true preaching of God's law. God's law is part of God's word too. The gospel doesn't nullify the law, and the world is accountable for its deeds and misdeeds. We need to call the world back to God's commandments and his prescribed way of life. That's not always easy or popular, but it's necessary as part of the process to purify God's world, the process he has called us to make us all one as his sons and daughters. Another related function of salt, one that we didn't mention, and one that was probably not important to people of Bible times because of the climate, is that salt melts ice. As Christians, we are called to melt the icy hearts of the lost with the warmth and salt of God's love. By being the salt of the earth, by being loving and compassionate, we can give the unbelievers a taste of the rich savoriness of the Lord. By being flavorful Christians, full of life and joy, we witness for Christ. Can salt that's lost its saltiness be restored? Perhaps. It would take a miracle, but then God's in the business of miracles. Each week in our celebration of the Lord's Supper, I begin the proper preface with the words, "It is good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God." Think about that word, salutary. It too is related to salt. It means giving health or curing disease. God the Father gives us the body and blood of his Son, and when we receive him in faith and praise, our sin sickness is cured, our souls are made healthy and pure, our saltiness is restored, and we are preserved in faith, awaiting the world to come. So come near and take the body of our Lord, so that you may have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Amen.